My name is Bob Bickford, and I am the lead pastor at the Groves Church in suburban St. Louis, Webster Groves, Missouri. And I'm also the associate director of Replant for the North American Mission Board. It's my great privilege to be with you all, as you have spent several hours this day considering leadership in the local church, and particularly elder leadership. Well, our story for elders and elder governance really begins with a business meeting that occurred on a dark, cold night in December. I know this sounds kind of strange, but it occurred at a business meeting where we had to vote on our ability to purchase a vacuum cleaner. Our custodian had called me a couple of days earlier and said, hey, the vacuum cleaner we have is broken and I need to purchase another one. The custodial supply company can loan us one until we can get the official approval to purchase it. So I have a vacuum and we're covered. That was a relief because we really had a lot of kids coming. We needed to vacuum the nursery and the preschool area and all those sorts of things. But we had to vote on a vacuum cleaner. So we showed up at a Wednesday night business meeting, once a month business meeting, in the middle of a dark, cold night in December. I'd been at the church for about a month. And for some strange reason, the power was off in the building. And the few elderly folks who came to that business meeting on a regular basis to make decisions to help the church move forward and allow and give the church permission to purchase things that the church needed, not enough of them showed up, and we didn't have a quorum. And so I showed up to a business meeting to look around at a handful of folks and realize that the person who was looking at the bylaws and looked at our attendance and our membership at the time said, we don't have a quorum. We can't meet officially. We couldn't approve a vacuum. Well, that led us down a journey to discuss and discern together what does it really take to lead a local church. And so that business meeting where the power went out and we couldn't vote on a vacuum really became the catalyst for us to begin to ask a lot of questions about what does it mean to be a church and what does it mean to be led according to God's word and how do we make decisions as a church. And so many of you have been spending some time thinking about that and wrapping your mind around that. And so I want to talk about how we transitioned from a church that couldn't conduct a business meeting, and when we did, we voted on most everything, to giving ourselves over to following God's instructions on leadership in the church, and particularly elders in the church. We began by asking a lot of questions. First, we started with just the practical questions, like, what about our process isn't working and what seems to be broken? And then we asked ourselves this question, what if we were able to streamline our decision-making that enabled our people to engage in ministry rather than the administration of ministry? Here's an important one we ask. What if we entrusted our leaders to lead and we gave them approval to make decisions within the parameters that the church has already set, like a budget and authority for their particular role within the church? And that all those questions led us to this most important question, because I don't want you to think that leadership in the church is all about efficiency and effectiveness and pragmatics. Leadership in the church is really about what the scriptures say. And so it led us to this most important question. What if we were able to explore the Bible together and discern what kind of leaders God wants in the church and how he wants them to lead? And so we began to do that through several things: preaching, town hall meetings. We developed a written document on leadership within the church, and those things began to answer key questions for us. The first was, how is the church to be led according to scripture? And so churches are led in a number of ways, right? Churches can be led by tradition. They can be led by influential people. They can be led by pragmatics. But we determined that we were going to find out from scripture, how does God want the church to be led? And that fundamentally led us to the topic of the gathering for this day for you is elders and elder leadership. And so we discern that together, that when you look in the scriptures, you don't just see one person leading the church. You don't see committees leading the church. You see a plurality of leaders who are called and qualified to that role, leading the church, exercising oversight and shepherding care and making decisions and helping the church glorify God and be obedient and faithful to the mission that God's called them to live. So then we ask ourselves this question, well, why are we considering elder governance? we came up with this. We wanted to be obedient to God's word, and we wanted to obey him and glorify him. And we also wanted our practice of leadership to be a blessing to our people as it brought glory to God and as it helped us fulfill the mission that God has called us to in our local context. And we determined that we both wanted to be structured biblically for effective ministry, but also for effective mission. And that led us to this question. This is an important one and really the main thrust of what I want to talk about in the time that remains. How can our church, or how could our church at that time, make a transition to elder governance? You know, we were a church that voted on just about everything. And you might be in a church that's the similar pattern of making decisions. And you have nominating committees and committee on committees, and you have personnel committees and decorating committees and finance committees and all those sorts of things. Those are great and wonderful things to get the body involved. But one of the things we began to realize was that many of our people were serving on multiple committees. And that as we looked in the scriptures, we didn't see committees reflected. We saw people serving in their roles, either as deacons and serving the church or elders and leading the church. And so we began to ask ourselves a question: how do we get from where we are to where God has shown us that he's calling us to be in scriptures? And so when we looked at the scriptures, we saw scriptures like Titus 1:5, where Paul says to Titus, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and that you would appoint elders in every town as I directed you." So we see that there was this appointing of elders, putting people into a role and an office. And as we understood that, we also understood that it was going to be difficult for us to say, okay, well, we're just going to appoint this person and that person and this person to lead. We needed a process. We needed something that would help us get from where we were to where God wanted us to go. And we also saw this in Acts 14, verse 23. It says here that when they appointed elders for them in every church, they prayed and they fasted and they committed them to the Lord, in whom they had believed. And so there's this process where the church had come together and affirmed that these ones who were selected to be elders were indeed called by God to serve the church through leading. And so we realized that the final action in scripture is stated, but the process of implementation is not clearly stated. But that didn't keep us from holding back in pursuing elder governance. Now, one of the terms that is key in replanting and revitalizing a local church is a term called tactical patience. And let me define it for you, and then I'll explain it, and then we'll wrap it up in how it applies to moving from where you are, perhaps, to where God is calling you to be in elder governance. Tactical patience is defined as this: it's the ability to skillfully implement change at a pace that is appropriate to a specific congregation's health and needs. It is about having the discernment of knowing when something must be changed and then how it should be changed. Right? So it's not enough just to know that something needs to be changed. Well, that's part of the equation, but it's in knowing how you can get the church from where it is to where God is calling it to be. And so that was really our task and our mission in moving the way that the church made decisions and the way that church was led from a congregationalism, a full congregationalism that employed committees to make decisions, to an elder governance, which we were more and more convinced over time that God was calling us to as we read the scriptures. So we began to do these things to get from where we were to where God was calling us to be. We evaluated our governance and decision-making structure by scripture. And we began to look at every decision and every group and every leadership team, and we began to say, is this group, is this team, is their work, is their process for decision-making, do we see it in scripture? We began to teach the congregation about what biblical leaders did in the church and what the qualities and the characteristics of them were and what the requirements were for those who would serve in the office of elder. We drafted a document, a transition document, that said, here's where we are and here's where we feel God is taking us, and here's how we're going to get from here to there. And here's how we're going to restructure the church. And we just didn't do it all at once because we felt like we needed to give the church a couple of steps in between. And so we began to align the church's decision-making process and structures with Scripture. And so that incrementally meant that we said goodbye to some of our leadership teams and committees, and we began to install a pre-runner of elders. We began to look around the congregation and determine who is a man who serves here, who has the characteristics and qualities that would be consistent with what we see in Scripture as it talks about elders. And so we began to find some of those men, and we began to give them leadership, and we affirmed them as a church, as a board of directors that eventually became a group of elders. Now, that implementation plan was what we chose, and it worked for us. And we felt like it would be easier for us to take an incremental step with tactical patience than flipping the switch and going overnight from one way of making decisions to another way of making decisions. And we felt like we wanted to give our church body the opportunity to walk through a journey and a process with us together to become more obedient and more in line with Scripture in the way that we live together, but most importantly, the way we were led and made decisions. So we drafted all of this in a document, and I'll share that with Sam, and he can pass that along to you. And we determined that it was going to be important for the congregation to participate in decisions like the call of the senior pastor or the lead pastor if there was a vacancy. We believed that it was important for the local church to affirm the budget and the ministry plan because they were going to agree to come together in faithful obedience to pool their resources for the accomplishment of God's mission through the budget and ministry plan as it was shared with the congregation. We also felt that it was important for the church to vote and affirm the decision-making process. And so we said, if there are enduring changes to our bylaws or our constitution, we want the church to hear about that, and we want the church to affirm that. And we also said this, that we wanted the church to affirm any acquisition or disposition of property or indebtedness. Those four things we felt were key to bring to the congregation to have affirmation over as we begin to make these steps towards elder governance. Our congregation, I'm happy to report, embraced them warmly and joyfully. And they felt freed up in a sense that they didn't have to come together and vote on things like vacuum cleaners. And so over the time when we made our transition, when we eventually introduced the full concept of elders leading and serving the church by leading the church and giving the church oversight, our congregation was in a place where trust had been accrued and where the men who served in those roles had faithfully shepherded the people that God had given us here at our local church. And so the church then affirmed a shift to eldership, and we rejoiced. Now, our church was able to make those things work in our congregation. We didn't do it perfectly. We made some mistakes along the way, but we determined that walking in obedience to the way the Lord had led us to make changes in the way we make decisions and lead our people was key for us to be an obedient congregation led by leaders that God raised up and affirmed and appointed. And as we pursued God's mission together, we've had great joy and a sense of purpose and a sense of focus in ways that we had not prior to that time. And my prayer for you is that you would see where you are, see where God is leading, and that you would understand how to navigate the path between where you are and where God wants you to be for elders leading your church. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for these who are gathered here. Father, I pray that you give them wisdom and grace as they consider together how to make decisions together that affect the lives of the congregation, that they would lead them in faithful obedience to your word, and that you would make them fruitful and effective for your mission, for your glory, and for their good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.